Welcome, everybody. Good to see you here this morning. We're going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings in just a moment. Before we do that, if this is your first time here with us today, welcome. I'm really, really glad that you're here with us this morning. In your worship guide is a connection card. If you would take a few moments, just fill this out with some of your information, that would be terrific. Just so we could get a little bit of info about you and place it in the offering plate when it comes by in just a few minutes. That would be terrific. A few things going on. If you would pull this pathway happening sheet out of your worship guide here. A few things going on this week. First, we've got softball tonight at 5:30 right up here at the fields. So we got games at 5:30, 6:30, 7:30. Come on out, root on our teams. There's church guys on every team, so no matter which game you show up for, you're going to be able to root for somebody that you know. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're building relationships within our community, trying to get them into church, trying to show them that Christians can have fun too. And so come on out and support us and build those relationships with the people from our community, from Tucson. Also, I want to point out that our church website is www.pathwayofhope.net. We have copies of the sermons every week that are uploaded there. You can, if you miss a Sunday, you can go to our website and download the sermon and listen to it. We have a calendar there. We have all kinds of information about our various ministries, softball schedule, all that stuff. So make sure that you go to our website and check that out for any information that you need having to do with our church. We're going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings right now, if our ushers would come forward. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. Lord, we thank you for these tithes and offerings, Lord. We thank you for the people that are here this morning. I pray that you bless each and every one of them and bless these tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need.
Is what I need.
Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
Let's sing brokenness.
Brokenness, brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Brokenness, brokenness is what you want from me.
to your great prayer for us to pray. Amen. Right now, our Hula ministry is going to share a very special song with us about our heart's desire. As they're getting ready and in place, just wanted to congratulate Will and Tally. Today is their 20th year marriage anniversary. So congratulations. Yes. Way in the back right there. Amen. Also, I wanted to pray for Christy in just a little bit. We'll do this after this ministry, but she takes the bar exam on Tuesday and Wednesday, and we just want to pray for confidence for her. She's going to pass it. She's a brilliant lady, so. But, all right.
When I explained to Pastor why we did that, we were going to do that, he asked if I would explain it to the family. Basically what it is, this is called an ipu heke. It's a double gourd. And this was the first instrument used in hula. But the gourd has many purposes, for filling water, for carrying food. So for us, as your ministry, it symbolically represents all that we do is for God. And we, before we came out, we prayed, we touched the ipu heke, we laid all our burdens, all our cares, and every praise that we have for Jesus, for what he's done in our lives. And we're going to leave that there till the end of the service, because we are asking God to please fill it so we can continue to serve him. Thank you.
Kuini elikeme Yesu, kuini elikeme o nana alaka iya u mekona uhane. Yeah.
Most appropriate prayer to pray. Isn't that nice? Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Before we open our Bibles, I just want to pray for Christy right now. And if you just extend your hands toward her, I don't want to embarrass her or anything, but we do want to pray that the Lord would just give her the complete strength to do this examination. So Lord Jesus, right now we come together, Lord, with the power of agreement, Lord, the power of agreeing prayer, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord Jesus, for just all total recall for Christy, Lord, as she prepares for the bar exam this week, Lord. We just pray that you would just take away any nervousness that she would have, Lord. Replace that with confidence, Lord. I just pray that you would just, Lord, when she gets to this exam, Lord, that everything she studied, everything she needs to know for this exam, Lord, you would just guide her and direct her, Lord. May it be through your power and your spirit, Lord, that she passes this exam. We lift this to you, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. All right. In your bulletins, there's a note sheet called Calculating the Cost, if you'd like to pull that out. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 35. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, that'd be great. Luke 14, 25. We're going to look at a very important passage of Scripture on what it means to be a genuine Christian, a follower of Christ, a disciple. And Jeffrey, I'm getting a little bit of a mid-range feedback here. As you're turning to Luke 14, I want you to listen to these actual responses from comment cards that were given to the rangers, our staff members at the Bridger Wilderness area. The Bridger Wilderness area is in Wyoming. You hear that, Jeffrey? Okay. It's in Wyoming, and it's just thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres of a pristine forest that has been preserved. And there's over 1,000 lakes there. There's 7 of the nation's biggest glaciers right there at the Bridger Wilderness area. I got a picture of this for you. This is Slide Lake right here. But so So you know how at a wilderness area they've got a place where you can leave comments and concerns? These are actual comments that came in, and here's what a lot of these hikers had to say. One person wrote, "Trails need to be reconstructed. Please avoid building trails that go uphill." Another person wrote, "Too many bugs and leeches and spiders and spider webs. Please spray the wilderness to rid the areas of these pests." Another person wrote, "Could you please pave the trails? Chairlifts need to be in some places so that we can get to the wonderful views without having to hike to them." Another person wrote, "The coyotes made too much noise last night and kept me awake. Please eradicate these annoying animals." Another person wrote, "A small deer came into my camp and stole my jar of pickles. Is there any way I can get reimbursed?" And the person left their cell phone number. And then here's another one. One person wrote, "Too many rocks in the mountains." It's a problem with the wilderness, you know. But these comments and these complaints, they indicate that the people who made them, they don't really have a clear understanding of what it means to stay in a wilderness area. And they were looking for something convenient and comfortable, but not truly a wilderness experience. And I believe in a similar way, many people today don't really understand what it means to be a genuine follower of Christ. There are multitudes of people that say that they might, you know, I follow Jesus or I am a Christian, but they do so on their own terms, in their own way, if it's convenient for them. And today we're going to look at what Jesus calls us to as disciples of Christ. We're going to see that discipleship involves more than just attending church and calling ourselves Christians. There is a cost to discipleship. And Jesus gives some very bold statements in this passage we're going to read that his hearers, those that were traveling with him, would have been quite startled by. And it starts in Luke 14:25 with Jesus saying, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. So this is the point in his ministry where he's got all these crowds, you know, large crowds. They had seen his miracles, and many were attracted to the wow factor. You know, Jesus was doing all these important things. Other motives of people traveling might have been that, well, you know, I've got some kind of ailment, an illness, and I want to find the appropriate time to ask the master to heal me. You know, it's safe to say that in this large crowd, there would be a few, just maybe, you know, a small group of them that were really buying into the cost of discipleship. And so Jesus makes some statements here to really let people that were traveling with them know what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus. And this would have obviously discouraged the half-hearted. And Jesus said, he turned to them and said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." And some people would be thinking, time out. What are you saying here? You want me to hate my mothers and brothers and sisters? And Jesus wasn't really calling them to hatred. He was using hyperbole. He was making the point that anything in comparison to following him, or, you know, anything that, you know, anything you have in life, even your own family, if it's more important than him, it's not what he's calling us to. It should be like hatred by comparison. In fact, if you look at Matthew 10:37, this is key in understanding this verse. Matthew 10:37 says, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So the hatred that Jesus is calling them to was actually a lesser love. He's calling his disciples to cultivate such a devotion for him that their attachment to anything else would be hatred by comparison. And that's what Jesus is calling us to cultivate such a devotion to him that our attachment to anything else, doesn't matter if it's money or people or even your own family, you name it, it's hatred by comparison. That's how in love with Jesus we are. That's how devoted we are to his teachings and his ways and the life that he wants us to live. So you can tell that Jesus is making some pretty bold statements there because he's setting the cost of discipleship high. This is what it takes to be a follower of Christ, he is saying. And then in verse 27, Jesus says, "And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." He's calling them to complete submission, even to the point of death. And then verse 28, Jesus gives an illustration. He says, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it?" That's, you know, if you're going to build any kind of project, you've got to, before you start, estimate the cost. And in just a little bit, I'm going to show you a project that I started 2 weeks ago, the building project, and I did not carefully estimate the cost in building a guitar. And I went through some torture on this project, and I'm going to talk about that in just a few moments. But Jesus is saying you've got to calculate, you've got to estimate the cost if you're going to be a disciple. And he says in verse 29, "For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.'" So Jesus says you've got to estimate the cost, and he sets that cost of discipleship very, very high. And he says you've got to take a careful inventory before declaring your willingness to follow. He gives another story about war. He says in verse 31, "Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation with the other while the other is still a long way off, and will make terms of peace. Verse 33, he says, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Can you imagine what some of those in that large crowd were thinking? Wait a second, they're probably thinking, you want me to give up everything? Yikes! Give up everything. And Jesus is saying, only those who are willing to carefully assess the cost and invest all they had in his kingdom were worthy to travel with him and follow him. This speaks of something far more than just abandonment of one's material possessions. He was calling them to unconditional surrender, to forsake all they had to follow him. And Jesus said, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is neither fit for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Wow, that's a direct statement to those who were half-hearted, thrown out. And so Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's the call to discipleship that Jesus calls his disciples to. And I want to summarize this passage with one sentence. Would you write this down? It's to follow Jesus, I must be committed to him above everything else. This is the call that Jesus puts on those who are Christians, to be committed to him above everything else. In our hearts, Jesus must come before our loved ones, our self-interest, our possessions, our money, our careers, our hobbies, our goals in life, on and on, you know, even our very own lives. And we see this type of commitment happening on a worldwide scale. But for many Americans, just getting them to come to church, that's alone a struggle, you know, enough in itself. And some might say, well, Jesus, he was talking to a special group of people like apostles or evangelists or pastors. No, in verse 26, Jesus says, if anyone comes to me, that's me and you. If anyone comes to me, he's saying that this principle applies to everyone that would be one of his followers. To be a disciple of Jesus, you must be committed to him above everything else. In verse 33, he says that a disciple must be willing to give up everything. Everything is a very inclusive word, isn't it? For the disciples that were with him, it literally meant everything. Does that mean today we are to forsake all of our possessions and give up everything to follow him? Some people have. They have heard the Lord speak to them to lay it all down. For some, it's because maybe it was a hindrance with their relationship with him. Others have just felt that call. I'm going to leave it all and give it all away for the sake of following Christ. But see, I believe today that it's more, Jesus is more speaking of the attitude of our heart in which these things don't have priority in our lives over obeying Jesus in our lives. In fact, the Greek word that is translated give up, it could also be, it's translated in Greek as goodbye or renounce. So Jesus is saying that we must be willing to renounce or say goodbye to anything that interferes with following him faithfully and completely. So for some of us, yes, it's giving up certain things because it is a hindrance. In our hearts, we must have that attitude of unconditional surrender. That's why Jesus says you better estimate the cost. And that's the next thing I want you to write down. To follow Jesus, I really need to count the cost. In those two illustrations that Jesus gave, Jesus expresses one simple but pertinent point. His point is that just like it is prudent to consider the cost building a tower or going to war before jumping in with both feet, it is also wise and necessary to take into account the cost and commitment necessary to follow Christ. So, because Jesus doesn't want people to make a commitment without understanding and seriously thinking about what is involved in this decision. He doesn't want a half-hearted, blind commitment that only expects blessings. He wants that complete, unconditional commitment. there was a Visa commercial. I just saw it on YouTube. It's pretty funny. There's this man, he's sitting in this chair at a tattoo parlor, and he's kissing his girlfriend, Donna. And then all of a sudden, she says, they stop kissing, and she says, "Are you sure about this?" And he says, "Yeah, I want everyone to know that I'm in love with you." So you see him getting a tattoo, and there it is, "I heart Donna." But it's, you know, the tattoo artist is on D and O. And all of a sudden, the man says, "How much, again, is this going to cost?" And the tattoo artist says, $50. And he's getting his tattoo, and he pulls up money, and he only has 41 bucks. He goes, "Oh, no, I just have $41. Then you go to the next scene, which is the couple on they're outside of the tattoo parlor, and she's running off, and he's like, "Honey, I'll get it fixed." And the camera goes to his arm, and it says, "I love Dawn." But that commercial shows the foolishness of considering the cost of something so irrevocable halfway through. Jesus is saying one should consider and make sure that he is willing to take heed of the cost of discipleship before making that commitment. And he wants us to ask ourselves, am I in it for the long haul? And if so, am I willing to follow him no matter what happens, no matter what he asks of me? And to follow Jesus, you really need to count the cost. So 2 weeks ago, John, my 10-year-old son, and I had this notion of building a cigar box guitar. Back in the 40s and 50s, a lot of your great blues musicians, when they were just young, they didn't have the money to purchase a store-bought guitar. So they would make guitars out of cigar boxes from their granddads or from their dads, whatever. And so John was studying earlier this summer some of these blues guys like Lightning Hopkins and Bo Diddley, and that played cigar box guitars. Even Jimi Hendrix played a cigar box guitar. And so we looked on the internet for some basic plans to build a cigar box guitar, and we thought, this is great. We could knock this off in a day or so. We did not count the cost. Here's a picture of a cigar box. Oh, he's got it up there, all right. And that's kind of a fancy one. That might be a box of chocolates. It says chocolates right there, but I wanted you to see what one looks like. So John and I decided to build this thing, and we started into the project half-baked. We had the full intentions to make this thing, but we just ignored all the details that were entailed in making this guitar. But we were so excited about the prospect of making a guitar, we just didn't count the cost. I think many people do that in their lives with Jesus. They get so excited about the new life that he offers, the hope he gives, the fact that he forgives their deep and darkest sins and secrets, but they don't understand what's fully required of them, or they realize that something is required, but it's just ignored. And that's the first thing you can do with the cost of discipleship. Number one is you can ignore the cost. You make that decision to follow Jesus, but you ignore what he requires of you. You know what I'm talking about? For example, you know that serving is not an option for believers. We are called to faithfully use our gifts to serve each other and to serve God, but some just ignore it. They'll attend church for years, but just ignore the fact that God wants us to serve. In fact, have you heard of that 80-20 rule? A lot of church studies have showed that it's 80%, it's 20% of the people that do 80% of the work. And I've always bragged about Pathway of Hope because it seems like we maybe have 60% of the people that are actually involved, you know, faithfully and consistently in the work of ministry. But that still means that 40% are not. And some ignored the fact that God wants us to use our spiritual gifts. It's the way the church was designed to function, where everyone is involved in it, just like the body has all these members in a church body. You know, God's intention is for all of us to be serving. But it's easy to ignore. And some just ignore it. They know what God requires, but it's just not a big deal. Or they say, "I haven't been asked." So, you know, there's always those things that happen in a body. Some do the same thing with tithing. They know that the Bible teaches that, you know, 10% of our income is what God wants of us. but it's something that it's easy to ignore. Do the same thing with spiritual growth. We know that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But sometimes we just get in that routine of not allowing God's word to direct us and guide us. And we know that this is what we should do. We know we should be praying faithfully. We should be in the word. We know all these things. But what do? We just ignore it. And it's easy to ignore. But Jesus is teaching us in this passage today that to be a follower of Christ, he wants it all. He wants everything from us. He wants us to follow after him. So John, Jen, and I ignored the cost on our project. not the cost of money. We know we could make this thing for less than $20. That's the purpose of a cigar box guitar, is that you're doing it pretty cheap. But we just ignored the cost of time. Let me give you a small little glimpse. Well, we got our cigar box. We called a cigar company, and they gave us several boxes. So that was the easy part of it. And then we bought the tuning pegs for, you know, the tuning pegs of a guitar? Right here. We got these tuning pegs for $10. No problem. Went to Rainbow Guitars, and these frets, it's called fret wire, and we got several long pieces that we cut down to the right shape. So that part was easy getting. But, boy, it's a science getting this thing measured out. So I don't want to ruin Randy's guitar. I'm going to leave it right here. He needs a new stand. Okay. So Bianne, John's grandma, was nice enough to give us a piece of red oak that looked just like this. And so we measured out my Gibson guitar and what we wanted the headstock. This is something we were going to do for a mandolin. You can have this if you want it. I'm done making guitars. But so out of a piece of wood, like, it was a little bit longer than this. We got two necks out of it. We got one for the mandolin and one for a guitar. And so we got that traced out, and that was pretty easy too. But what I didn't realize is that, you know, we got the headstock. See how it's got to be tapered a little bit down? And so we did that. Dick did that with his skill saw. But then I realized that once I was getting the tuning pegs in there, it was too thick. So went back to Dick, had him take a bandsaw and, you know, really get that thing down. Later on when I was getting the tuning pegs, I realized, well, now it's too thin on this part. So I had to destroy another cigar box and glue it on the back of it so it had the right thickness. I mean, this thing on and on had problems. Then my headstock was too wide. Once you get the tuning pegs on there, you can't be that far wide off. So I had to go back and get the saw out and really get that thing shaped down. And so we cut it out. We had it sanded, got the headstock reshaped. I spent hours with John just sanding it with our palm saw to get it, you know, we wanted the edges nice and smooth, and put all this time into it. And then Mindy and I, for the frets, we measured it by the centimeter, you know, fret by fret. And our first time through, it was last Saturday night, in fact, that we were measuring it, and we had the right measurements, but we put them in the wrong place after the second fret. So it's like, okay, I was frustrated. Let's just quit. This is a waste of our time trying to make this guitar. And so I quit. I quit the whole project. I just said, forget it. I'm not going to do this. You know, sorry, John. And no guitar for you. You know, everything's fine and dandy. And so I walked away from it. I said, I'm rejecting that. And that's the second thing you can do with the call to discipleship. You can reject it. It's easy to do. You know what God wants of you. Okay, you're tired of ignoring it. So you decide, I'm just going to reject it. People do that. They still might say they're Christian, but they know what is required. But we're just too busy, too preoccupied, and people become lukewarm and no longer have the passion to live for Jesus, but for other things. It's a tough word, and I'm sorry if I sound too preachy, but this is what we do with that call to discipleship. Some ignore it. Some just out and out reject it. I'm just not going to. This is too much for me to live this way. I just way too much. That's the way I felt about my project. It just way too much. I don't have the energy. Then I looked in John's eyes, and okay, I got some wood filler. All the frets that we cut that were wrong, I filled them back up, went back to it. And Mindy and I remeasured the frets down to the centimeter, took the time to do that. Then we went to, John and I went to Radio Shack, bought a $3 piezo buzzer to be used as a pickup. Then we got the output jack, which is another dollar, $4 to get a pickup in there. I borrowed Larry's soldering gun, and I could not solder these two together. It just would not stick. I just was so frustrated, but finally got this thing. It's got more, I mean, this guitar is heavy because of all the solder wire that's, I need to get you more solder wire, sorry about that, but. So then we stained it. We put the stain on this thing, and I guess I put it on too thick because after 24 hours, this thing was still wet. I mean, we used like a dark colored chestnut color on this red oak, and I picked it up ready to kind of sand it for the next layer. My hand turned brown. Oh, wait a second. But so I took a towel, I got all the excess stain off it, and let it dry for another day. Still had the same problem. It was still kind of wet, so I took it off, and I just had to take as much of that stain, the oil stain off as I could. And so then I had to attach the cigar box to the actual thing. And I realized once I notched out the, you know, in the cigar box, I had to notch out where the cigar box is going to sit in here. I realized that the cigar box is about a quarter of an inch higher than the neck. So I got on my phone. Hi, Dick. I know this is the third or fourth visit, but do you mind if you could help me just notch out another? So Dick's like, okay, come over. So it took him about 2 minutes to do it. We notched it in there. And so now this thing was ready to be strung. So John and I started stringing the whole thing, but the nut that I had broke because I made my own nuts. It's like, oh, what am I going to do now? So I had this old guitar. I completely took it apart, took the nut off of it, got it on there perfectly, but realized that, okay, it's about an eighth of an inch too high. So I needed to notch it again. Got on my phone. Dick? Yeah, so when did that? I mean, I wanted to take this thing and just paddle me with it. Why did I start this whole project? But we decided to finish it. We made that decision. We got to finish this thing. We've come this far. And that's my third point here is to be a disciple of Christ, you can ignore it, you can reject it, but Jesus knows that all of us have it in us to unwaveringly commit to the call to be a disciple. That's what he knows that each of us can do. It's not above any one of us here this morning to make that unwaveringly commitment to follow Jesus Christ, to surrender to the call. You know, when we realize what's at stake, we realize what is required, and then we give in to it. We relinquish. We say yes to it. We think, man, Lord, what you've done for me on the cross, what you've given up for me, the sacrifice you made, the least I can do in return is give my life to you. And even though the cost of discipleship is high, Lord, I want to relinquish to it. I want to fall into it. I want to embrace what you want of me. I want to make that commitment to be a follower of Christ, to genuinely, wholeheartedly follow you. So John finally got this thing strung out. And then he said to me, Dad, can I be the first to play it? In fact, can we just plug it into the amp and can I play this thing? So I got this thing tuned and I'm thinking, is this thing going to work? Will it work? I mean, it's a science making sure that your frets are the right length and where your nut and your bridge, the distance between there is right. I'm not a luthier. I don't know much about guitars. I know a little bit more about guitars that I don't want any part of it. But, so will this thing work? So, I thought we'd let you hear this thing. Here she is. John, want to let them know if this thing works or not? Come on up here, would you? Okay. It also whistles, which is kind of cool. Not a lot of guitars can do that. So you can see our headstock. The other cigar box we had to glue on here, our neck, proper measurements from here to here. Okay, let's see. Why don't you play your song, I Know? So that's the exact same thing he did at home. And we were like, whoa, this thing works! We couldn't believe it. We were high-fiving each other. It's like, man. So in the tradition of the blues, John, give us some blues. Now this thing has that twangy sound. A lot of blues albums, you'll hear that sound because they either try to mimic it or they make a cigar box guitar. Let's hear this. All right, good job. It's really hard to play right now because, good job. We still have to set the action because the nut is too high. You can see it needs to be down to here, but I'm not going to do it. He's going to learn how to play this difficult, and it's going to be great. Thanks, buddy. So to some, this is not even worth $20. To John and I, wow, we couldn't sell this thing because all the time and effort that went into making this thing was just incredible. But you know what? It did teach me a lot about discipleship each step of the way. Every time I went to Dick, I was telling him a new thing I was learning about the process of being a disciple. See, if we will commit and not ignore the cost, if we don't ignore it, if we don't reject it, but we wholeheartedly commit to him, our lives, he can make a beautiful sound of our lives. It's the truth. We may not feel like a $2,000 Gibson guitar or a $2,000 Taylor guitar. We may just look like a cheap old cigar box, which is, you know, it's the only redeeming thing from cigars, you know, that they come with a beautiful box. And why waste it? I mean, if you're going to waste your, you know, the cigars, might as well just do something nice with the box. It's a redeeming factor, in my opinion, but this is, to some, just a cheap, you know, it is a cheap, it's all made, it's homemade. But I think that even though we don't feel like we're these expensive instruments, God can still do something with our lives to make a beautiful sound. And he wants to do that with each one of us, you know. And some of you feel like you're just, I can't be used, I can't be used. You may feel like an old cigar box, but I want to remind you this morning, man, if you let the master shape you. I'm not a master. I don't know what I'm doing. But if you let the master shape your life, man, the sound that he will make with your life will be beautiful music to his ears. Because you're going to be using your lives not for your own purposes or devices, but you're going to be using your lives to glorify him and to bring glory to him. And that's what our lives are about, bringing glory and honor to God. Especially church family in these last days where time is culminating to a point in history where we know something is up worldwide. We know that the end times could be, I mean, within just years here. We've got to get serious to the call that God has in our lives. We can just be half-hearted. We can, you know, even have a hard time making it to church once in a while. All those things. Or we can say, you know what? I'm going to do something with my life to make a difference in these last days. In fact, I'm going to go beyond just giving my life to God. I want to give my life to others and make sure that everybody knows about Jesus before his second return. That's what I want to do with my life. I don't want to waste it. I want to say, Lord, I want to get on your program here in these last days. Whatever it takes, whatever it is, Lord, whatever sacrifice you want me to do, I want to do it for the sake of the kingdom. And I want that to be all of our prayers because that's what Jesus wants from us. Clearly, we learn that in today's chapter. He says, there is a cost, but before you make that commitment, calculate what it involves. And it involves everything. And I want to encourage you this morning, you know the cost, what it is. Don't ignore it. Don't reject it. Don't keep doing that if you have been. But give in to it. Say, Lord, I'm yielding my heart this morning, and not just this morning, but from here on out, it's an unwavering commitment to follow you, to be used by you. Amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord, for for this chapter, Lord, this hard chapter, Lord, but Lord, it just clearly helps us realize what our priority should be, Lord. And we know that our priority should be you, Lord Jesus, whatever you want from us, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord Jesus, as we take this name you've given us, Lord, Pathway of Hope, Lord, that as a church, Lord, we would just unify together, Lord, to have that same heart, Lord, to be a pathway of hope to this community, Lord. And Lord, as you bring unity here, Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would unite us with other churches in Tucson, Lord, that have a desire, Lord, to reach people for Christ, Lord Jesus. And I just pray this right now, Lord, every one of us, Lord. Lord, for those that may be just struggling in their hearts about making that full surrender to you, that full commitment to you, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that that game of tug of war would stop this morning, Lord, and that they would just give in to you, Lord Jesus. I pray this in your precious name. Amen. Let's stand up and sing this song.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need, is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Yeah. So take my heart and form it. Take my will, mind, transform it. Take my will, transform it to yours, to yours, oh Lord. So take my mind, transform it. Take my will, transform it to yours, oh Lord.
Can we just all bow our heads right now? If the Lord stirred something in your heart this morning, and you want to make that move towards full surrender if you haven't, or maybe you've never said yes to Jesus and you've never opened up your life to a personal relationship with him, right now you can do so just in these quiet moments. You can say, Lord, please come into my heart and save me. I want to give my life to you. You can just do that right now. This is a time right here with you and the Lord. If you do that, I want you to pick up a yes packet, because that'll help you take those first steps with the Lord. We have a table right over here with the green tablecloth. And you'll see a big banner that says yes. And there's a little Bible study in there that if you're making a decision to follow Christ, it'll help you take those first few steps. So if you've never given your heart to the Lord, you can do that right now. Just say, Lord, come into my life, come into my heart, save me.
Yes.
And for the rest of us, I just want to encourage you right now in your own heart and your own mind to say a prayer. Just simple three words. I am yours. And don't put any attachments to that. Don't say that to the Lord on your own terms. No, I'm yours, but just, Lord, simply, I'm yours. And Lord, for those of us that are praying that right now, Lord, we want to give it to you, Lord. Maybe we've gotten off track. Maybe we've gotten lazy. Maybe we've gotten half-hearted or lukewarm, Lord. But we don't want to miss out, Lord, on what you're doing, Lord. We don't want to be like the salt that is thrown out because it's lost its saltiness, Lord. I pray you would make us salty once again, Lord Jesus. Give us that flavor, Lord, for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray, Lord, for all of us, Lord, that we would partner together, Lord. We would roll up our sleeves to get serious about what you want us to do as a church, Lord Jesus. Take away any half-heartedness, Lord. I just pray that you would use us, Lord. Break us, Lord Jesus, for the things, Lord, that we want, Lord, our desires. Break us of all that, Lord Jesus, as we're molded into your image. That's our heart's desire, Jesus, to be like you.
Yes.
So we pray this right now, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. 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 We're going to have a prayer team up here to pray for any need that you may have, but we're going to dismiss right now. worship team is going to continue to sing, but if you have any needs for prayer, please come forward. God bless you. You're dismissed.
So take my heart for me. Take my mind, transform.
Loud and clear, and all together we'll fly. among the living, let it be said of us. By the ones we leave behind, let it be said of us. That we live to be a blessing for life.
Can't believe.